Welcome back to Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at Thursday's top news. And the big story here in the nation's capital on this Thursday is the fight on the House floor over the president's $3.6 trillion budget blueprint for fiscal year 2010. We are expected to see a vote in the next couple of hours from right now, and it is expected to pass largely along party lines. New York Democratic Congressman Elliot Engel thinks the budget blueprint is a good start.
I like this budget. It talks about the president's vision and America's vision, not only in terms of fixing our economy, but in terms of education, health care, and energy.
Those are the major pillars: a massive overhaul of the health care system, a cap and trade system, which Republicans argue is a major tax on the American people as well as industry in this country, and of course, much more spending on the nation's schools. Texas Republican Congressman Jeb Hensarling says the Democratic budget proposals are radical.
They are radical departures from over 200 years of history in America. They tax too much, spends too much, and they borrow too much.
The Republican alternative plan calls for a spending freeze except on military spending and veteran spending. It also calls for massive tax decreases as well as an all-the-above energy plan. Oregon Democratic Congressman Peter DeFazio says the GOP plan is just not realistic.
Well, after doubling the national debt under the failed leadership of George Bush, the Republicans unveiled their budget alternative. After the smoke and mirrors are put up, their real agenda comes true, which is more tax cuts for the wealthy.
Over on the Senate side, the debate continues there as well, but a vote not expected for a little while. Arizona Senator John McCain says right now, Washington needs a reality check on spending.
We're asking every state legislature in America to make tough decisions, and we're not making those tough decisions. We're just going on as if there were business as usual.
Meanwhile, the Senate has approved a measure that encourages the Federal Reserve to disclose the names of the financial institutions that it bails out. The Fed currently closely guards that information to prevent a run on bad banks. But a majority of the Senate agrees with Bernie Sanders of Vermont, the lone declared socialist in the Senate, who says Americans have a right to know whom the Fed is lending taxpayers' money. The Senate passed the non-binding resolution on a vote of 59-39. It's an amendment to a budget bill that's still being debated, as we mentioned. Meanwhile, President Obama across the Atlantic in London at today's G20 summit. He says the world must come together and act with urgency to combat the current global economic crisis.
After weeks of preparation and 2 days of careful negotiation, we have agreed on a series of unprecedented steps to restore growth and prevent a crisis like this from happening again.
Obama noted steps have been taken to help restore economic growth and, quote, prevent this type of crisis from happening again. He insisted international leaders must continue to work in unison to curb the economic crisis. G20 leaders agreed to pump more than $1 trillion into the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank in order to help impoverished nations. They also agreed to go after international tax havens and to tighten financial rules on controversial hedge funds. The president praised what he calls the free market economic system, but also says we need a whole lot more regulation.
The market is the most effective mechanism for creating wealth and distributing resources to produce goods and services that history has ever known, but that it goes off the rails sometimes.
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown also declared today that the banking secrecy of the past must come to an end. He says that's one of the key components in the agreement reached by today's leaders.
This is the day that the world came together to fight back against the global recession, not with words, but with a plan for global recovery and for reform, and with a clear timetable for its delivery.
Brown said hedge funds will now be regulated under a reformed global banking system. The agreement stipulates regulation of credit rating agencies and sanctions for tax havens. It also sets out new rules for executive pay and bonuses to be based on performance. Back here at home, the labor market remained in the doldrums last week with new claims for jobless benefits reaching a 26-year record high. The Labor Department reports the number of initial claims for unemployment benefits increased by 12,000 to 669,000 in the week ending March 28th. Keep an eye on the numbers tomorrow. We'll see the employment numbers for the month of March. Meanwhile, the Dow rallying to a triple-digit finish on the plus side today after investors were cheered by a change in bank accounting rules that are seen as boosting their balance sheets and resulting in more lending. The Dow was up 216 points to close at 7978, the S&P up 23 to 834, the NASDAQ up 51 to close at 1603. Oil was up $4.25 to $52.64 per barrel. And also today, the House of Representatives giving the government authority to regulate tobacco products. Supporters arguing that tobacco is a killer and that its products should have been regulated long ago. Opponents said the bill would hurt the economy, and they question whether the FDA is up to the task of regulating the contents of cigarettes and other tobacco products. Still ahead on Dateline Washington, we'll get more insight into the cap and trade debate with Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research. We'll have our weekly visit with John Gizzi of Human Events. But up next, the Obama healthcare agenda with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Stay tuned.